organized to the T and he's like not organized or whatever, I think at some point she might become...
Well, and that's what happened to one of my friend recently who just left that long relationship. One of the big parts of it was that like her partner, her boyfriend, like could not clean up after himself, like at all. He like couldn't cook. Like he could screw up being asked to put like a pot of water on the stove.
Welcome to the Backyards Convos. I'm Khadija, and this is a special episode. We have a special guest. Her name is Lindy. She is from California. She's a yoga enthusiast, a writer, and she is going to be here in place of Shondor.
We're going to have a good conversation.
Yeah. But I think we just want to talk about like expectations when you go into a relationship and how do you handle those when you actually get into the relationship? Like before me and Shondor started dating, I didn't really have like a lot of expectation, but I had some. And so, you know, when you get into the relationship, you're like, oh, wait, I expected this and it's not being met. And how do you get like over that? But
yeah,
what about you? Because you've been married for how many years now?
No, this year is 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. Before you got married, what was like a thing you were looking for in men? Like, what did you want them to have? Or like, did you not have any?
Well, so like, it's weird coming from the background that I came from, where there was a very conservative religious background. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of the expectations that like we had, or were taught to have, were not always like the best or made the most sense, or like were the healthiest for relationships. But in terms of like positive things, you know, I wanted someone, what most girls want, you know, someone who's, you know, strong and funny and smart. I was always attracted to like the philosophical, artistic type of guys.
Yes. Yeah. I feel I'm drawn to people's like, I like someone not because of like how they look, but because of like their mental, like not mental, but like their mindset.
Yeah, and so then, like, so me with my partner, like, we had a 3-hour conversation, and when we first met, we just sat outside talking about, like, different things about, like, philosophy and literature and stuff like that, and I didn't really think much of it, and then, like, later we started talking, like, things, you know, and then I became more interested, but it was just, like, initially, I was just meeting a person, and we were vibing, I'd say, in a very California way.
Yeah, I feel like when I met Shondor, I wasn't looking for anything, actually. I didn't even have any expectations going in. I just was mostly just, oh, I enjoyed like this company I had with this person at this moment, and I kind of want to hang out with you more. Mm-hmm. But then I think as I got more into the relationship, I was like, oh, I do want a guy who's going to protect me, or, you know, kind of somewhat oddly like that my dad, like, fill kind of a role that my dad did. Like, but I don't want a dad. I don't need a dad. But I just want someone who's, like, going to kind of fill that role a little bit. But it was interesting. Yeah.
That gets into a lot of archetypes. Yeah. What kind of archetypes are the people in our lives playing in our lives?
And then you said you met him, and then your expectations when you got into the relationship. Do you feel like...
So, like, for me, like, it was pretty young. We were pretty young. And part of it was, like, learning my own expectations and learning what I want. And, like, the philosophy that I was raised on is very much, like, your whole life is already set out for you. And so it kind of takes away your ability to really express what you want or come into, like, any kind of real understanding of, like, what you would enjoy out of living life in the world that exists. And so, like, I feel like we both went through some pretty tough growing phases because we both came from a similar background. But we're both, like, as we've been together, we've gone through growing phases of, like, learning, like, we've both completely changed our, like, core, like, beliefs about certain elements of the world, like, left the religion as, like, we grew up with it. And so going through that kind of growth together and then having really tough conversations with ourselves about like what we believe about ourselves, about the world, about each other, provides like a solid foundation in terms of what things are. And like, we've both kind of like, we've learned more about what we want, and like, we don't have traditional expectations of each other.
That's good. But you guys were, you said you were growing, and you now the person that you are currently, do you think that, do you regret anything now from that change or that growth, or do you?
No, I mean, regret is itself an interesting word to even think about. And I've gone through a lot of, you know, reflection in terms of like, I seeing myself at different points in time as like who I was within the context that I have. And there's a lot of things that like, sure, you could spend time regretting things that you did or went through or said, but like, those are each things, those were important milestones in my literature and important milestones understanding like who I am and like what I actually value. And like, sometimes you don't know what you value or don't know what you need to know until you've gone through something and seen either, oh, that is what I want, or oh, that's not what I want. That's both in and out of relationships too. Like, that can be anything.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, I know I said regret, but I don't think regret's the right word. I think it's like, I don't think I regret anything. I think that I learned a lot of lessons, and you know, now that I'm who I am and where I am, I wouldn't change a single thing. But there was some expectations when I did go into the relationship, and you know, there's some things that may not be met, but I just talked to Shondor about it, and then we'll hopefully get over those humps and like, and continue to grow together. And like, my end goal is obviously just, I want to be with this person, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to like make it work. But yeah, I don't regret anything. I think all of it was just a lesson.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's a lesson too, and like, it's also taught me that like there's an element of being aware of the things that I want and being aware of like there's limits in terms of what another person can be for you. And like the, so using an example, I'll use an example of a friend of mine. I think she left us, it was a 6-year. And it's I mean, there's grief in leaving it, but it's also not, oh no, because the reason she finally left is because she realized that she wasn't happy and fulfilled in doing the things that she wanted with her life. And you know what? Like, sometimes there are relationships that are worth letting go of. And sometimes like they were the person who it was good for you to be with then. But just because you spent time with someone and they were the person to be with then doesn't mean that you have to continue on with them. It's because people change, and both people in the relationship change, and sometimes you grow away from each other, and that's okay. And we don't really like, and like, it's, there's an element of sorrow to that in terms of like, there is an element of grief in saying goodbye to that. But there's also an element of like, you live one life, and if you're not, if being with this person is holding you back from living a life that you will regret, like, you don't want to live a life that you'll regret because you're choosing this person over yourself. And like, that's very contrary to our Western mind, because we've been brainwashed with all these romance stories and all this pseudo Western Christian religious background about stuff. And it's like, well, really, like, we live in a world where like, you can survive on your own, and you can survive with friends and people, and there's not this like need for you to just stick with one person all the time. And like, I believe in monogamy and I believe in faithfulness, but I also believe that like, you know, both partners are in it. And like, so I was like, I'd say like, yeah, don't cheat on the person, but if you realize that you don't want to be with them, like, do them the honor of breaking up with them. Like, yeah. Don't force both of you to be miserable because you're both holding on.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Especially because religion played a big role in like my life as well, and I think a lot of people's life. And I feel like religion does heavily push like, you stay in the marriage, you try to fix it as long as you can. Some cultures, even like Catholic religion, Catholicism, where there is no divorce. There's divorce, but it's not. It's kind of like frowned upon.
Oh yeah, it's frowned upon in pretty much any Abraham.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like at the same time, you don't want to. I feel like yourself, you're important as well as being in a relationship with somebody. You know, who does it benefit when you're in a relationship with a relationship that you're not happy in? You know.
Yeah.
You know, you got
and
people.
One exception is people who have kids. Because now there's another third life involved, and it's not just you and this other person. So, like, I just wanted to throw that in there. The dynamics change when you have a child. And, like, there can still be things where you separate, like, emotionally from each other, but you are now co-parenting. Anytime you have a child, you're co-parenting. The next 18 years, you're going to have to figure out how to have that person. If it's just you and the partner, y'all are adults and you can do whatever it is you want. Right?
Yeah, no. Like, there's no point in, like, forcing something that, like, you don't have to.
And I was just gonna say, I think that's where it's like, it's really important to be honest with yourself. And it's really hard. One, it's just hard to be honest with yourself about these things, because we have a lot of selfish things too, where it's like, I don't want to be alone, or I don't want to this, I don't want to that. But it's also hard in our culture today with like the bombardment of like sound and noise and screens and things like that. It's hard to like moments of just kind of sit with yourself and reflect on what your body is telling me.
I agree. And like right now, especially nowadays, I feel like a lot of people are, well, in the past like few months before, I feel like people were driving to like be in a relationship and wanting to be in a relationship. But I feel like a lot more people are kind of, I don't know. I know someone personally who was really obsessed with being in a relationship with somebody. And now she's kind of like relaxed. And she's like, she came to the realization that it feels like people who are like desperate for a relationship are just don't want to be alone. And obviously you don't want to be alone. You want to be with somebody, but at the same time, you are important as well.
And one of the most important things we can learn in life is how to be alone. Right.
Yep.
And that's something that I struggled with kind of on, like, as I was transitioning into adulthood. And, like, I remember finding a YouTube video, and it was called, and it was this lady's, like, spoken word poem, some music over it, and it was called How to Be Alone. And, like, that really, really helped me be, like, really think about myself as, like, not just, like, oh, my body, but it's, like, imagine, like, you're in a relationship with yourself. Like, don't you want yourself to feel good? Don't you want to, like, make a date with yourself and go out dancing, treat yourself to dinner? And that's not something natural. And it feels weird. And, like, I went out, like, and I went out alone. And I took myself out alone to dinner because, like, you know, I'm married to a workaholic. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, this is sad. Like, you know, at first, it was like, this is hard. And it's like, but then, like, I went out to get dinner, you know, again recently the other night. And it was just like, I was just like, going out, it'd been a tough day, I went on food, I took a little notebook with me, and I just kind of sat and wrote for a little bit, and I ate, and I didn't have to cook, and it was just nice to just, like, just sit and, like, have my own, like, decompression time.
Yeah, and I feel like also when people get into relationships, sometimes they start to lose themselves. They start to, like, stop doing things that they used to do before they got into a relationship. And then, like, you know, let's say if they have kids and their kids become 18 years of age, and now they should refine themselves and, like, what the things that they like and not because their kids like. And I think that's also hard too, because finding yourself in a relationship and, you know, not losing yourself completely. But I think also there should be a balance between where, you know, it's okay to do things independently, but also want to do things with your partner. I feel like that's a hard balance to find.
Well, then I think that really varies from why it's such a hard balance to find. And that's one of those lifestyle compatibility questions. So, like, if I was the type of person who, like, really needed to be around my person, like, every single day and do all these activities, like, this wouldn't be the relation for me. Like, mm-hmm. But, and some people who are like, oh, like, I want to, like, I am just a very active person and I want a partner who just does all the same things as me so we can be active together. Like, then you need to find someone who has those same expectations. Some people have, like, expectations of certain amounts of alone time. A lot of introverts, like, need some downtime alone where they can be in their own space. And, like, so that's, like, a compatibility issue. So, like, some introverts and extroverts can make it mesh well because, like, the extroverts have other friends that they go out with. And then the introvert gets their alone time. But sometimes, like, you can vibe with a person and you can get to know them, and then you can go, like, our lifestyles are just too different for us to work as life partners. And I mean you all well, and this was fantastic, but we're just not compatible life partners. It's also okay to realize. That's why we date. That's why we go through these processes, to learn about the other person and start to be like, is this the kind of person who I could, like, see myself sharing resources with for, you know, hopefully the rest of my life, or at least most of it. And like, those aren't questions that we're not taught. You don't ask those. No one in romance movies asks those questions, right?
No, like, you don't watch.
You don't go to a rom-com to have someone sit down and seriously talk about. So like, I'm an early bird and you're a night owl and we're really compatible. Like, that's not sexy, but it's real.
And I also feel like some rom-coms specifically will pair like people who are completely opposite together and supposedly it works out. Like, I think there was a one rom-com I'm thinking about that comes to mind that I was remembering. Like, there's this woman who's, like, she's super organized. Everything's very organized to T. And there's this guy that's supposed to be her love interest and is completely the opposite. And somehow they're trying to make it that they fall in love and it all works out. But at the same time, like, that might work out for a little bit. But we don't know how long that's going to really last if, like, she's completely a person organized to the T and he's, like, not organized or whatever. I think that at some point she might become...
Well, and that's what happened to one of my friend recently who just left that long relationship. One of the big parts of it was that, like, her partner, her boyfriend, like, could not clean up after himself, like, at all. He, like, couldn't cook. Like, he could screw up being asked to put, like, a pot of water on the stove.
Oh.
Like, this is, like, so she was basically the... It's not his fault entirely. He's from another country where usually people had like someone that they hired to come cook and clean for them. So like the kids never learn how to do it for themselves.
Oh,
but then
she's practically his maid.
But then he didn't make enough money to be able to hire someone to do that. And, you know, and she's in this other country on, you know, a work visa, going in and out on a work visa, so she can't work all the time. So like there's an element of like, sure, yeah, like I'm happy to like help contribute to the rent because it's like you pay the majority of the rent and I help with like chores and maintenance. Like that wasn't the issue. The issue was like the few times when there's like she's sick or something like that. Like usually it's like, okay, so like I do it most of the time, but I'm sick and you're not. Like, can you help with the feelings? And he was just useless. And she had like she got like a concussion and she had to be down for a little while and everything is just a mess. And she's like, I want it to be clean and it's a tiny place. She's like, and I wish I could bring order to it, but like I can't even stand up for long periods of time or over. And it's like, okay, at that point, like just hire someone to come in temporarily to just help clean and get things organized. And it was just like, that wasn't so. I just want to say it's like, that's not the only thing that, you know, that happened in the relationship. So that's like, there's ways to get through that. But that was definitely a big source of frustration.
Yeah, that just sounds a little bit inconsiderate. Like, does he not see her as like a partner? What does like he see her
he's
as like?
He's a space cadet, a little bit of a space. He's a creative and he's doing his stuff and he's working and it just doesn't sink in. Didn't sink in for him. I mean, obviously, and now like they're not together anymore. And like, you know, for him, it's like, she was like the best thing that happened. You know, he told her like, you're one of the best things that ever happened to my life, you know? And it's like, of course, she's one of the best things that happened in your life. She's giving you all these things and acting as like a mother and a maid and the like, you know, and a lover. And then like, what? And she gets in return is like a roof over her head. Like, it's just, and you know, there's a lot of cultural differences too. Like the city she was in, like it was, there were a lot of communal cliques and it was hard to like, you know, be an outsider, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Did she have expectations going into the relationship or did she didn't mention?
Well, they kind of, I mean, like a lot of relationships, they just kind of, you know, you started talking and then stumbled into it. And then it was more economical to like move in and like, you know, and then you're dating and you're learning to voice different expectations. And I think she also didn't fully know either. Like that's some of these relationships we go through. We learn the things we like, and we don't like. People that we go through, that we meet.
No, I agree. I feel like having a long lasting relationship, there's like so many things that goes into it that like we could go on and on and on, but you know, obviously you got to have the same values. And if you don't have the same values, at least like respect, I feel like is needed in a relationship that like you respect your partner or you just view them as not an object, you know, you view them as a partner and someone you want to like work together as a teammate. And I don't know if he didn't seem like he valued her as a teammate like, oh, we're a team.
I mean, there were other areas where there was team, and like they did some creative projects together in a field, but it's just like, I think he appreciated her, but then it was just, it was a combination of like, she also didn't have like other areas of her life. She tried to make local friends and like, they didn't really stick. And like, you can't live in a place where your partner is your all. Yeah. And basically it was either they had to move out of that city together or she was going to have to move alone. And okay. It's the city he's from. So it's his home and it's okay. And like, it's really like it at that point, it wasn't worth for them, you know, moving together. But initially they had talked about moving somewhere else and trying to like move together. Things are expensive. And for, you know, non-American to come in back into the States would be hard for him. So sometimes international relationships work out.
Yeah, I think that specific relationship, you know, had reasons for why it didn't work. But mm-hmm. I think that, you know, dating someone or looking, when you're looking to date someone, it is good to have expectations. But I also feel that I think it's really, really important to see your partner. I see the person that you're dating as a teammate. I think that's really, really important because that helps for like long lasting relationships. But I also know a lot of people find people in the clubs. They go out and they go drinking and they meet someone. They think they're cute when they're like, you know, a little bit tipsy or so. And then the next day they're like, oh, wait, I don't really like you. And then, or maybe they like them and then they fall in love and then realize all the things that I liked about you was only because I was, you know, intoxicated.
Well, and that's why it's like, that's why you go on a few dates and you try out a couple things before you make any kind of commitments. Like, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to commit to someone just because you liked them, you know, one night.
You don't have to have like a one night stand and then just like, oh yeah, we're getting married in Vegas or something.
And then you just don't leave? Like, that, you know, doesn't, you know.
But I think a lot of people are also nowadays are finding like a hard time dating like on the apps. Like I've been hearing that like there was actually a study, I just had this conversation, but there was a study showing that people are leaving like apps now. They want to find people in real life. They don't want to find them on apps because, you know, if you've ever been on a Tinder or something, you're just swiping right and it's just the easy access of like people, you know, swiping on like, oh, I don't like this person based on like the small little information that I know about them. But it's hard dating nowadays, I heard.
Yeah, I know some people have found a good partner through some dating apps, but it's not easy. And more like, I know people who like meet more, it's like through friends of a friend and, or like going out and doing an activity and then you're doing an activity together and you happen to meet, you're both doing that same activity.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like if I was, you know, looking to date right now, I'm not quite sure how I would go about it. Probably try and figure out where like people with similar interests to me like would go on the weekends and try and go to those places but you're right, like I'm not quite sure how I would even go about it like now.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to go about it either, and I just feel for them because like it's when I met Chandra, it was through a person that we know mutually. You know, that's like the best way I feel to find people, but people really do have success on like dating apps. Some people actually do mm-hmm. last longer, like, you know, they did on dating apps and they're together for a long time now. So
yeah, and you might have to like go through a few bad ones to find a good one, but you know.
Yeah, and I also heard that like when people go on dates with people, they're very picky on like where they want to go on for a first date. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I've seen there's a very picky first date culture for sure.
Yeah.
But it's just like, so, okay, so that's another thing though. Okay, so like, well, like first dates, like, you know, there's a reason why it's like, you want to be careful. You want to go somewhere public, like, especially if it's someone that you're just meeting online, right? You want to go somewhere public. You don't want to, you know, feel like you can be cornered somewhere. Yeah. You don't want to feel pressured into doing something. So maybe you want to do something during the day or, you know, so there's reasons for that too.
Yeah. And apparently a lot of people like there was like a list that came out like of, I think it was like a group of women that had a list of places they didn't want to go for first dates. And a lot of them were really kind of silly because it was just like, they were saying like, you couldn't go to Cheesecake Factory. You couldn't go to, like all these really popular like places that you'd go on like a first date. And I feel like that's perfectly fine. Like my first date was on like a hike, which was great. but I feel like going to Cheesecake Factory isn't like, you know, I wouldn't look down upon someone going to Cheesecake Factory for like a first date.
No, I feel you. Well, and that's where it's like, well, what does that depend on? Like, what is it? Like, Cheesecake Factory's all right, but I also don't usually eat at chain restaurants either. So it's like, it's a lifestyle thing, right? So
you'd probably, like, you'd say like, no.
I'd rather get asked on a hike than go to Cheesecake Factory, right?
so you're the people, you're part of the group that's like, oh.
I mean, no. I don't even like cheesecake, so like.
I mean, I'm not a picky person. Like, if you just the fact that you thought about me, but also like, it's different nowadays because a lot of people, like, it really was like a hookup culture for like a certain time. I don't know if it's like over, like people are no longer trying to hook up anymore, but there was a hookup culture, especially on Tinder, where people would just swipe, want to get to like meet someone and just hook up and not necessarily look to date. So I'm not sure if that was the case prior, like people were looking to like hook up, I would be okay with a Cheesecake Factory. Like, yeah, thanks. You know, at least you're not like just trying to hook up with me on the first night.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I'm also like, I'm out at the age where I would probably go Dutch on the first few dates.
Oh.
Like, I make enough money and I'm happy with the amount of money that I make. And I'm go to date, I'm going to try and find someone who like is interesting and who is a potential partner. So I'm totally fine in spending the money to go someplace that I'm going to enjoy, if that means I'm going to pay for my own experience. Like,
yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I feel like you should always, when you go on a date with someone, always plan that you're going to pay at least for your food at the minimum.
And if there's an experience that I want, if I go, hey, like, I want to have this level of experience, like, I'm going to be willing to pay for it to make sure that I get that level. Like, because if I'm getting it for free, like, it's not really my place to complain. But if I'm like, hey, I'm going to pay to make sure I get the good events.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe that's also a thing I don't know what, it was just a list of places that people were like, no, we don't want to go. So we don't know if it was because of the fact that they weren't willing to pay or what it was. But I personally wouldn't have mind like the Cheesecake Factory, because it's just a thought is nice. And obviously, you know, it's a first date. You're just getting to know someone. Like, if I just swiped on a dating app, didn't know the person beforehand, and, like, we're going to go meet, I think I'd be more comfortable, me personally, if we met in a restaurant rather than going, like, well.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends. Because sometimes you could, like, you know, do something fun on a first date. Like, we go on a hike. But you can also go to a lot of outdoors things. Like, a picnic is also nice, too.
Yeah, you can go putt-putt golf. I don't know. You can go do sports together. You can, like, for athletic people. So, you can go to a brewery. Go listen to live music, you know?
Yeah. I kind of feel like people nowadays are, like, kind of, not picky, but very, like, I think picky is the word I'm looking for. Because, like, back, I feel like when I was dating, it was more of just, you're just freely dating someone. You're not necessarily, like, have these expectations. Like, it's good to have expectations. I feel like it's great to have expectation, but, like, I feel like you shouldn't set your expectations super high, because you might be missing out on someone that might be great that you just missed out because you're just like, oh, he doesn't meet my requirements. Like, he's not 6 foot and he doesn't drive, like, a Lamborghini, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, and, like, that's where it's, like, the physical things. Like, when I first met my partner, wasn't the... Like I said, we just talked for 3 hours. Like, that was nothing. Like, that was it. Like, there, I knew nothing. I mean, obviously, I learned a little bit, but I didn't know anything about, like, what kind of car he drove. Like, I didn't know a lot of different things about him. It was just the personality, you know, and the interests that we had in common.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to, like, look down or, like, say, like, oh, people who have standards are, like, you know, you shouldn't have any. They definitely think you should have standards 100%. I'm just saying that when you meet someone, having standards is like, oh, he has to make this certain amount of money. You might be missing out on someone who's like really a good person, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't have to be. There are, you know, there are levels of compatibility. So for someone who has certain expectations about their life based on the income level that they make, like you said, your expectations of someone can only be based on what it is that they can afford. Right? So you can't demand more of someone than what it is that they're able to afford with the work that they do. And it's not fair of you to ask that from them. But if you find that you're unhappy because of that, then you need to find a different person. Like, so it's this weird situation where it's like, okay, if you really love that person, you love that person and you're with them. But that's one of those compatibility questions that you need to work through. Like another friend of mine is talking about how she told me about there's like a mutual friend in their friend group. This guy and girl are dating and they're young and they're love and they both went to school for like a creative, a more creative career direction. One that has actual, you know, work and decent amount of work for it. But there's a little bit of like, you know, doing, you're not necessarily making a lot of money, especially early in your career doing it. And the gal in the relationship comes from a family where she's used to, like, her parents make a lot of money and she's used to being well off and being able to afford to do a lot of things. And the guy she's with right now, and I think they've been with each other for like, you know, a few, like 2 or 3 years, you know, it's still not that long. And that's causing relationship strain, right?
Because her
expectation of her lifestyle, the food that she eats, how, you know, where she does, how she, you know, live, where she, all that stuff, how often she travels, she can't get that from being with him, and is causing strain in the relationship.
See, that also does, I understand it. When you bring up that point, I understand, like, she's already been living this life from, like, this certain life. And now mm-hmm. she has to kind of, you know, adjust. And I understand that. That does make sense.
But that becomes a self-evaluation question for her now, doesn't it?
Yes.
So she now has to make a choice about what she really values more.
And it's so funny, not funny, but so interesting that I noticed is, like, for me, I've noticed that there's always a triangle. Like, there's money, friends, and relationships, like partners with people. And I know those three things, right? A lot of times people tend to have two of those and then lack, like, not two of those, like two of those tend to be stronger than one of them. And then you can, I never really met anyone who had like strong relationship in friendship, strong relationship in money, and strong relationship in a relationship, had three of them all at the same time personally. And I think that like, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying I feel like two of those are always stronger than the other two. I feel like if you decide to have a partner, you can have, like, a partner and some money. You can have a partner and friends. But I feel like I've never seen people manage to have all three.
Hmm.
I remember specifically I was working for a doctor. And he had been married at least three times. Either two times it was on his third marriage or three times on his fourth marriage. I think he was married two times and was on his third marriage. And he was even thinking, he said, this is his last marriage. But as he was talking about it and he would tell us about it, I'm like, oh man, I could see like how he probably like would divorce this person. But obviously, and he made a lot of money. He's a doctor.
Right.
But I noticed that like that triangle, and I'm only bringing this up because you're talking about your friend who was living a certain lifestyle and how she noticed that like she's not compromising. She doesn't want to compromise on that. She doesn't want to compromise on her lifestyle. And I noticed that triangle
happened. And I don't know this girl personally, so I don't know what she's going to decide. And I don't know like what her values are.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's a friend of a friend and the friend knows the guy, not the girl. But, so I don't know what kind of person she is. I don't know, you know, what's going on with that, but those are lifestyle choices that it is okay to have those conversations with. And that is okay. That's something, you know, like the first, I don't know, 10 dates you go on someone where you can like talk about like different lifestyle. Like if someone likes to travel a whole lot and somebody's a homebody, unless the homebody is fine with the person traveling alone and the person traveling alone prefers traveling alone, like that's going to be an issue. Like, right. So,
yeah.
But it could be that the person who lives, who's a homebody and is an introvert actually likes having a lot of time alone. And the person who travels, maybe they do love traveling solo and like being able to go out and come back to someone home waiting for them. So it really depends on what each of the people in the relationship have in terms of expectations from the other person. And like I said, sometimes you don't even know, you know, what you're okay with. Sometimes you think you're okay with the person traveling alone all the time. And then the homebody is like, actually, I'm not okay. Like, and that's when it gets hard. When you realize something that's not going to work and you go, okay, am I going to compromise on this and be okay with it? Or do I need to like, is this something that's worth ending it for me? And right. So you have those conversations.
And then sometimes hopefully your partner is understanding where you can at least bring up these like topics and you can be like, hey, this is something that I did think that was okay before, but I, you know, unfortunately it's not going to work for me. And, you know, are we going to be able to work it out and things like that? So And hopefully your partner wants to work it out with you and then you can continue to be together. But yeah, if it's really that bad and your partner doesn't want to like work it out, then yeah, unfortunately you have to make that decision. Like, do you want to continue this where we're going, mm-hmm. or do we want to separate?
So these are all questions that like we don't even know. And there's going to be questions unique to each relationship, right?
Exactly.
So each of these hypotheticals we talk about, like, it's not going to apply to everybody. So
exactly. Everyone in a relationship has their own thing that they're going on, and you have to decide for yourself if, like, you want, yeah, what do you want? And if your partner's willing to work on it, great. If it's not, and you just feel like it's just a huge compromise for you, and then the decision to make, do you want to continue to go on this route or do you want to do something else?
But sometimes the compromises are worth it, and sometimes you can find like a third option, right?
Yep.
That's why you talk about it.
Yeah. I think so. I think that like it's just each individual person has to decide, like, you know, if you have expectations going into the relationship, you definitely want to be, if your expectation is hard, concrete, you're not going to budge, or you're willing to compromise and make it work with the person, or if you just want to separate, then yeah, it's all up to the person, individual like relationship. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
I love this. Okay. This was great.
How long have we been talking for?
42 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. We usually like do like 30 minutes or so, I think.
Oh, goodness.
I know.
Well, that's great. So yeah, no, it's nice to talk about these things. And I think a lot of people don't realize like it's okay to like think about what you want and think about what kind of expectations you have out of it.
Yeah, I think so too.
But you also can't force anyone to do anything.
No.
So.
Yeah. All right. Did you want to plug or any of your socials or?
Oh, nothing's really active right now. If I come back on, maybe I'll have something more prepared to.
Yeah, no
worries. To plug.
All right. I'm going to end it. Well, that's it for this episode of the Backyards Convos. If you enjoyed it, please like, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your wherever you get your podcast from. You can also go to our Instagram at the Backyards Convos. Other than that, stay safe, be cool. See you guys next week. Bye. I'm gonna end it. Thank you so much for being on the episode. I really love this because me and Elijah did a podcast yesterday with his friend, which is fun. But I feel like I had a lot more fun on this episode. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm not going to tell Elijah this, but I really did have a good time.
That's funny. No, this is good. Yeah, there's a lot of things. Like, I've learned a lot of things through myself and through other relationships. And I've changed my opinion on a lot of things, too, as I've grown. So it's good to talk about those things and talk about, like, differences and help people, like, have patience and a little love for them.
Exactly. And I feel like you're really like the person I'd want to talk to anyway about these types of things, because you've been in a relationship for a lot longer than me and Elijah. I'm like, who better to talk about these things than a person that like can share some information? You know what I mean? Yeah. Yesterday we were talking with his friend who's just out of a relationship, and how he was talking about like his like dates that he's been on, and which is great and fun, but it was not like a meaningful like, oh, you know, it was fun, but it wasn't like this conversation. But I'll definitely let you know when I upload it, and like probably send you a link or something. I want to upload it hopefully Monday, but I have to decide. I think I'm gonna upload this one.
Don't rush. It's like whatever makes sense. Don't kill yourself. It's been a rough week.
It really has. And like, I'm not getting another day off until like Thursday, so we'll see. Usually I get off on Tuesday,
yeah.
And that'll help me like edit quicker, but we'll see. Well, I hope that I can have you on again. I would love to have you get back on, like with maybe me and Elijah and maybe William would be great. But if not, like even if just you again, I love just wanting to hear more.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk more about things. We'll have to talk about calendar. I'm trying to plan a couple things.
Yeah,
it's hard.
No, there's no rush. I was just thinking like if we did it again, I would love to.
Yeah, let's we'll talk about
yeah
like, another time.
Yeah, there's no rush at all. But all right, I'll text you.
Okay, have a good night. You thanks too. For having me.
Of course, thank you for being on. I love you. All right, sorry.
Love you too. Have a good night. Bye.